Good evening, everyone. So, as in this Dhammapada, the Buddha mentioned, as a picture drawn by an artist, the surrounding created by the activities of the mind. It's our mind, the activities we think, then this is all the creations, all the artists, all the drawings, actually is come from our activities of the mind. And this activities of the mind actually come from our thoughts. Yeah. So it's just the Buddha mentioned in this Dhammapada as well. He said that, you know, when the thoughts arises, we manifest into words, isn't it? Inside we have the inner chapter, isn't it? Once the thoughts comes up, then after that it manifests into deed, action. And then we manifest into the action, and then we we develop a habit, because if we keep repeatedly doing the same thing again and again and again, it's become a habit, isn't it? And it develops a habit. And when the habit is so hardened into a character, it's like you become a personality, you behave in a certain way, you know. And it's very difficult to break through. It's just it becomes like the way of your life, you know. And that's why sometimes Buddha said, actually with our thoughts we create our own world. We think who we are, and we are all that we are actually arises from thoughts. And actually they said sometimes we don't see that, you know. And for example, if someone had the history of being maltreatment, and he was started to think, oh, how can I have a better treatment? Maybe I will start to please people that, you know, that the others that mistreated me, you know. Then this is how they started to do that, you know. Then if you keep doing that again and again, you know, try to please people, especially those, you know, you because you want to have a better treatment, because you have the history, you have the background, you have the experience of being, you know, mistreated. So you want to pleasing people, you know, to treat them nice, you know, so that they like you. And then you develop a habit and becomes the way of life. And then you become a people pleaser. And it seems like it's nothing wrong. It seems like, you know, on the surface, it seems like it's nothing wrong if you please people. It's not that. But actually, it can affect your life. And actually, it's a really quite a big issue if we don't know that we are doing that. You know, they said that you have some signs of, you know, of being a people pleaser, because this affects your life, becomes part of your life. And they said sometimes that and then we don't even know that. Oh, sometimes when we suffer, we don't know why we suffer, and we don't know actually we have, you know, contribute towards that. Because we have created certain habits that we didn't even know. You know, sometimes if we know, we won't do it, especially it's become a habit. It's very difficult. We just do it like automatic pilot without knowing that. So there are some signs, you know, that of a people pleaser. For example, it's like people pleaser, like they pretend to agree with everyone, you know, even though they disagree, that inside they disagree, they pretend they agree, because they feel like if they disagree, you know, and people might not like you, you know. And also actually it's not that it's a bad thing that being polite and listen politely, and even though we disagree with someone, actually is something, so it's good. But we develop the habit of, you know, even though we disagree, we pretend that we agree. We say, oh yes, I agree with you. Actually, you go against your value, isn't it? You go against your values and not being honest as well. I know I come across people like, you know, like when I disagree with the ideas, actually not actually it's not something personal. It's just that I don't think that it's a good idea. So I voice, you know, that oh, I don't think it's a good idea. But the person take it personally. They think that I'm against that person. Actually, it's nothing to do with the person. But if we continue to do that, we become like we will not voice, isn't it? We will, you know, we will go against our value, and then we, even though we disagree, we just keep quiet. You know, and actually it's not, it will affect our life, you know. Sometimes we need to voice out, we need to tell that, yeah, I'm disagree with you. So we don't always have to pretend that, you know, we to agree with others, you know. If we disagree, we say, yes, we disagree, you know. So that's like, if not, if we develop a habit, it's become the way of your life. You become someone like, you know, even though you disagree, but you still pretend that you agree. And because you're afraid that the person might upset with you. Like the same thing, this is what I have experienced, like, you know, when I disagree with the ideas, the person said, why you always disagree with me? Actually, I'm not always disagree with this person. It's just that sometimes this person's ideas is really airy fairy, you know. Sometimes it's really, you know, it's just airy fairy. Then I said, no, I do not, I disagree. And this person said, you're always against me. Actually, I'm not always against the person. It's just that this, because this person is an airy fairy person, you know, all these ideas is really impossible. and then have all sorts of ideas. Sometimes I suffer so much if this person bombarded me with all the ideas, you know, and so much suffering, you know, and I have this, I say, no, I disagree with that. So sometimes it's not to be afraid, you know, to say. I mean, I'm not saying in a nasty way, it's a nice way, you know. Sometimes it's also let the person know. But then I told that person, I said, no, I have nothing to do with you. I'm not against you. It's nothing personal. But I don't think that it's a good idea. And actually, sometimes you affect your life, you know, you go against your value. And another thing is that people please that they can never say no to things. I remember when early days when I was still a lay person, I'm always busybody, like to do, you know, like to help everyone, like to be so helpful. And because, like, you know, people pleaser, they tend to confuse with, you know, pleasing people with kindness. You think that, oh, I'm kind, you know. They think that they're kind. Actually, it's not kind. So I was thinking that I'm kind, but actually I wasn't that kind because I just want people to like me, you know. You just please people. You always can't say no. You know, then I ended up that, you know, I burdened with so much, you know, on my plate. I burden myself with all the things I think that I have to do for others. If I feel that if I said no, then I'm not kind, you know, because I have to protect my title of a kind person, you know. You think that you have to protect your title, you know, being a kind person. And I find it took me a while, you know, that because I started to feel stressed out because I said yes to everyone. I tend to do many things, you know, very busy, you know, and encourage people. Oh, it's very good. You go for, you know, there's a meditation class. Oh, you have no transport. I can take you, you know. Imagine I do all this, you know, like, just like, you know, it's very hard sell, you know, try to tell. I mean, it's good that, you know, if something good, we try to introduce others, recommend others to do, you know, for meditation class and learn how to meditate. It's something good. But I become a bit over the top, you know. And then, of course, as I practice, I started to see that is a problem in me. That is a problem, you know. And then I wanted to say no, but how many times, you know, I actually deep down I want to say no, but at the end I said yes, you know. I find it so difficult, but I remember when the first time I'd be able to say no, actually it's getting easier and easier. Sometimes you have to be really firm and assertive. That's what I used to tell others, you know, like some of the nuns like that, you know, they find it very difficult to say no. I said, no, you have to be really assertive. You learn to be assertive. You learn to say no to things because sometimes you can't please everyone. And then you ended up, you stress out. You got so much on your plate. You can't please everyone, isn't it? you'd be so busy, you know, to really be able to be more assertive, to say no to things. If not, we will stress ourselves, we affect our life. I can see that it really affect my life, you know. Then I can see that why I can't say no. And again, when I started messing, I can see some come from my sense, the sense of self, the ego. So a lot of people don't. It's very obvious. You see, like someone like, you know, the Buddha thought about the three concepts. I'm good. I'm better. I'm as good. I'm a worse. You know, and a lot of people don't see that. You know, having low self esteem is big ego. You know, actually low self esteem actually is big ego. The conceit that I'm no good. I'm really worse. This come from the self worth. You don't think that you're worth anything. So that's why when we don't have, we try to get it from outside. You know that this is how we try to fill the emptiness in us. You know, when we don't have it, and it's affect our life. You know, then I become so busy, I have no time for myself. You know, and actually it's affect my life, and I stress out. And I can see that I have to stop. And even I can see that to try to stop it is also take me a while. So eventually I said no. But I told the person, when I remember the first time I said no, and I told the person, please, even though I said no now, if next time you still ask me, I said maybe I can do it next time, but this time truly I can't do it, because sometimes if I stress out, I don't do a good job. It's better off that they ask someone else to do it. Someone else will do a better job. Actually, it's also being kind to myself too, not to stress myself out. You know, to be really more assertive. You know, to say no, and to develop that assertiveness. Actually, it takes a while. You know, it's not easy. Actually, it reminds me of that one of the couples. You know. That the husband always bullied by the wife, you know, and then he's to a point that he could not stand. Then he need to see a psychiatrist. So the psychiatrist told him that you have to learn to be more assertive. So he gave him a book. You go back and read. The books is all about assertiveness. To become assertive, more assertive, you know. And then on his way back, he finished the whole book. So then after that, when he arrived home, you know, he just rushed into the house, into his house, you know, his home, and then pointing finger to the wife, you know. So from today onwards, you know, my word is an order. I'm the master. You have to listen to me. Now, go and prepare me a gourmet meal and follow by a sumptuous dessert. And, you know, you draw a bath for me. So after that, you know, you have to dress me. Guess who is going to comb my hair? So the wife said, the funeral director. Funeral director. Sometimes it's good that we have to be more assertive to say no. But I find that when the first time I said that, I get it easier and easier to say no. Sometimes saying no is not that we are not kind. Like, for example, we have someone come to me that said that they have been affected. Like, because sometimes people come to them a lot with a lot of negativities, with their problems, and actually the person was affected, emotionally affected, like got drawn in, you know, he's got emotionally, and then she carried that with her, and then she said, and I find it very difficult, you know, someone, you know, in they need someone to talk to. If I don't talk, I don't listen to the person, then I'm not kind. But I said, you're not kind to yourself, isn't it? I said, you have to learn to say no to that person. It's not that you're not kind, you know, but you have to be kind to yourself, you know. So, like the Buddha said, what's the point, you know, that you try to help others. Before you help others, you get pulled in. You try to pull someone out, and then before you pull that person, and you get pulled in. I said, you have to look after yourself. I said, of course, if you be able to be there for the person, listen to the person's problem, provided that, you know, that doesn't affect you. That's why it's important that we have to know our limitation, our strength. To know our limitation. How much we can take, you know, how much we can do. If we don't know our limitation, so the kindness, you know, have no wisdom. And then we got affected. And that's why sometimes people don't see that actually being a people pleaser, actually you cause a lot of problem to yourself. And you affect your life. And it seems like, on the surface, it seems like something small, but actually it's a big issue. So that, but they say it's important that we check. You know, we have to learn to say no to things. And another sign of a people pleaser that they often apologize, you know, because they have the fear of being blamed. You know, I've come across people that just, I just don't understand. I said, why you apologize very quickly? They apologize because they have the fear of being blamed. Because sometimes it also comes from the conditioning. Because sometimes people have the condition that they're always being blamed for things that they haven't done. You know, then they started to develop this fear of being blamed. It's like the Buddha said, you know, those who speak little, those who blame for being silent, and those who been blamed for speaking little, and those who got blamed because they speak too much, and those, he said, no one in this world that you are not blamed. So no matter what we do, we cannot avoid that. You know, they say sometimes like if you develop the fear, then constantly, you know, because you are so, you have this fear of, you know, that people will blame you, and then that's why sometimes you always, it's okay to be yourself. It's okay. Sometimes even you haven't done anything, people still blame you. We cannot avoid that. This is part of the Buddha said the 8 worldly winds. You have praise, you have blame. You cannot always have praise, you know. And sometimes life is really fair, you know. Sometimes we don't deserve the praise, isn't it? That sometimes we sometimes some of the blames also, yeah, we don't deserve some of the blames, but sometimes also we don't deserve some of the praise. So actually, you know, life is really fair. So that's why it's okay, you know, no one in this world that you're really free of blame, you know, no matter what you do, you know, that's part of life. You cannot only have praise if you have blame. Another sign also that they tend to feel responsible for other people's feelings. We are not responsible for other people's feelings. We cannot make everybody happy all the time, isn't it? And we can't even make ourselves happy. How can we make other people happy? You feel responsible for that. I remember many years ago, that time my brother was still in his teen. He was still, I think, early 20s. So he used to be a attendant of a monk. This monk, that time, I think, that more than, I think he's now very, very senior monk. So he was in his early 20s, so he ordained as a monk. But because the mother is very attached to him, and because of he's the only son, so the mothers always go to him and pestering and ask him to disrobe, because the mother so attached to him, you know, because he's like my only son. And he refused. He just continued to, you know, to, he's still in robe now. Then eventually, subsequently, the mothers become crazy because of the attachment to her son. Then he told my brother, actually he never felt guilty at all, because he said that he hasn't done anything causes the mom, because it's come from her mom's own attachment that causes her become, you know, crazy. But it's not because of what he has done. But of course, not everybody have that clarity, have that wisdom to be able to not to feel guilty. Most people will feel guilty, isn't it? You feel that somehow because of you, you know, and you feel that you're responsible for that person. But actually, that what he said is really true. What he said to my brother, that actually I always remember that what he said. They said sometimes I always remind myself that, you know, I'm not responsible for other people, how they feel. Of course, it's good that, you know, we've been considerate. You know, we consider it, being considerate how other people feel, and then what we do has an impact on other. It's a good thing, but sometimes we can go a bit over too much to the other side, you know, and then it becomes like we think that we're responsible for everybody, you know. Then you'll be really tired, isn't it? You stress out, you know. We can't responsible for everybody's feelings, how they feel, you know. And we can only do our best, you know. We are not responsible for everyone, because sometimes that, like this monk, his mother, he said he's come from her own attachment. It's not me who causes her become crazy. It's her own defilement, her own attachment. It's come from her own. It's nothing to do with him. But most people, I can tell you, I think 80%, 90% people will feel bad, you know, you feel guilty. But he's still a monk now, because he's very clear. He has the wisdom, he's very clear that nothing to do with him. It's very clear. That's why he told my brother, I never felt guilty at all that because my mother become crazy, because of he didn't want me to become a monk. But he's very clear of that, you know. That's why sometimes you have to remind yourself, we cannot responsible for everyone, you know. How can you do that? You know, how can we make sure that everybody's happy? We don't responsible for that. If you think that you're responsible for that, you'll be very busy, you will stress out, it will affect your life, isn't it? So there's something, and sometimes most people don't see that they're doing it, because it's become a habit. It's become your way of life. This is how you live your life. And it's very difficult to come out of it, especially if it's become a habit. We all, one of the saying, old habit die hard, isn't it? It's very difficult to come out of it. And another sign that, you know, that you feel you can't stand if people get angry, get upset with you. You know, you feel, you know, you just cannot stand if people angry, displeased with you. You can't stand that, you know. And this also actually is also affect our life. And then you tend to compromise your values, because you know, try to make sure not to that person get upset with me, because sometimes people just mad on you, isn't it? We can't control, you know. That's what I used to tell people. I know some people come to me that I know some times ago someone came to me. This person said to me that I can't sleep for a few days. It's really bothered me because someone upset with me, angry with me. And I can't really, it's really bother me. And it's affect me. Then I told the person. Then he said, I already apologized, already said sorry to the person, but the person still angry with me. I said, it's okay, you have done what you do what you need to do, you know. But if the person still angry with you, what can you do? I said, it's not your problem. If the person still angry with you, it's the person's problem. I said, remember, this is not your problem anymore. If people want to get upset with you, because if constantly we try to make everyone happy with us, not to get upset with us, it's impossible. It's just impossible. If we do that, you know, if we attach to that and we develop that habit, and we are the one who suffer. You know, like this lady, and she said she was affected because of someone upset with her. Then I said, if the Buddha said, you know, if people can upset with you, it's a person problem. It's not your problem. So make sure you don't upset with others, you know. So I said, you know, you don't have to we don't have to responsible for that person's anger, isn't it? Because I said, it's okay. I said, you just, if the person cannot forgive you, it's the person's problem. You can only do our best. We cannot make everybody happy with us, you know. So then, and because we would tend to compromise our value because of, you know, or because we're so scared that this person is get upset with me. You cannot stand if someone upset with us and it affects us. But how can we control that? We cannot control, isn't it? We cannot control people get upset with us. And it's happened all the time. This part of our life, you know. But if you really, this will affect our life, and you carry that with you, and then you get emotionally upset, you know. And it's not worth it. So there's especially when it's become a habit, sometimes you don't even know that you're doing that. You don't even know that, you are a people pleaser. You don't even see that yourself. Especially you develop, becomes a habit, you don't see yourself doing it. And then another thing is that, you know, another sign that people pleaser, that they have another sign that they need praise all the time in order to feel good. And actually, it's quite dangerous. If you associate with a flatterer, they will always praise you. You think something good, you know. If a flatterer, they just simply praise you. Even you doing something that unskillful, they said that you're very good. And actually, it's very dangerous, isn't it? You will tend to commit some unwholesome, unskillful act because of someone praise you that you are good, you know. And you need to have the praise. I mean, of course, like one of the sayings said that, you know, a little praise go a long way. Actually, it's good, a little praise, but you have to be honest, you don't feel that. I know I come across people that said, with this person, the person praised me, I don't take it seriously because I know that she just praised, you know, it's just a flatterer. And then, wow, and then after that she turned around, she said something else, you know. That's why when this person praised me, actually I don't take it seriously because I know this person didn't mean it, you know. And actually it's quite dangerous, you know, because if you constantly need that compliment, you know, in order to feel good. And then you can't take criticism at all, you know. And this is one of the eight worldly winds. You have praise, you have criticism, you know. Of course, you know, that's why I keep telling people, I said, I don't bother. I said, normally I don't look at the comments. I don't care whether they like my talks or not, you know. If you don't like it, I used to say, you don't like it too bad, this is what you get, you know. So, it's not my problem, you know. Sorry, if you don't like it, this is what you get. You know, I'm doing my best, you know. I can't do better than best. This is my best, you know. If you don't like it, too bad, you know. So I said, you know, sometimes we cannot always have, of course people criticize you. You know, if you can, you know, if you can't take criticism, it's very difficult. You know, you affect your life, you know. You know, you have praise, you have criticism. You cannot have only one thing, you know. So if those people always need praise to feel good, they can't take criticism. But sometimes criticism is good. Truly. You know, sometimes criticism, sometimes we can't, because if we can't take criticism, we tend to block off, you know. Then we live in denial, isn't it? We block off. Actually, it's good that we open to criticism. We understand. If we know that some people, they just like to criticize, it's different. Some are those that constructive criticism is good. You know, sometimes we can see our mistake, you know, some of the things that, you know, that we need to improve on. Sometimes it's good to be open, you know. If we can't take criticism, it will affect us, you know, and then we have no progress. You know, and we will block off. We just want to hear what we want to hear. Things that is not criticism, we said, no, I'm not. But actually, sometimes it's good that we open to criticism. And anyway, criticism is just words, it's just sound coming in and sound going out. So if we see that, you know, that criticism that is, you know, we investigate if there is some truth in it. So we lend an ear, we listen, okay. Maybe that's something that I need to improve on, something that I need to change, you know. And be open to that, actually for our own benefit as well, to be open, you know. Not live in denying, we only want to hear nice things, you know. We don't want to hear, you know. That's why I used to, I learned a lot, you know, that especially you've been challenged, actually you learn a lot when you've been challenged, you know. Of course, you know, at the beginning you feel a little bit like, oh, you know, who you think you are, you know, challenge me, you know. But, and then you can see your own ego, your own reaction, you know. And actually this is how you learn, you know. So there is no good or bad experience. Every single experience, we learn and we grow. And we can see how our reaction, you know, and being challenged. And then you can see how our big ego, our sense of self that causes so much suffering for ourselves, we can't take criticism because it also comes from the sense of self, our ego. And that's, and also, it will also create a lot of problems for ourselves, suffering for ourselves. you know. And then another thing is that also one of another signs also that you go into great lengths of avoid conflict. You know, so it's good not to live harmoniously with others, not to have like argument, you know, it's good, you know. But sometimes argument not necessary that is bad, isn't it? Sometimes that, you know. But of course we don't, you know, if we go to a great extent to avoid a conflict and actually at all costs, actually we cannot, we are unable to stand up for things or people that we believe in, isn't it? We don't dare to stand up for things, you know. Actually, that is also not a good thing. And lots of people think that, oh, being a Buddhist, you know, oh, we should be always, you know, we shouldn't stand up for ourselves. No, you know, we stand up for ourselves. You know, we speak up. You know, we stand up for things that we and people that we believe in. You know, and not that it's not that we have to keep quiet. You know, and again, the Buddha said, we practice right speech. It's not right silent. It's not that we have to keep quiet, you know. Of course, we don't. Doesn't mean that we have to argue with all small little things. And this is how to pronounce the words. So we have to win, you know. It's not to the extent, but you know, it's good to sometimes to have discussion, you know, to voice your views, your opinions, you know. It's good to stand up for what you believe in and not always give in. And that's why it's a middle way, you know. Like sometimes people swing from one end to another, you know, from one end that very argumentative, you know, that they argue until like how to pronounce the words also that they want to win all the time, you know, and that's really also no good, you know. But of course doesn't mean that we have to keep quiet not to say anything, you know. That's why sometimes people tend to swing from one end to another and they talk about argue how to pronounce some words. I remind me of one of the jokes. There was a couple that go on holiday and they drive through Louisiana's and then they try to the two of them, the husband and wife, arguing how to pronounce this small town, you know. There's Nakitach. So they've been arguing how to pronounce it correctly. And then both of them want to give in. Then it's time for lunch. So they stop at the place for lunch. And then the husband said, okay, we have to settle our argument. Then they ask the waitress, okay, you know, please speak very slowly. Tell us where we are. So then the witches said, we are at Burger King. So like people, even you know, like some people that argue until like how to pronounce the words, so they want to win. Of course it's no good, you know, but doesn't mean that we have to just keep quiet all the time. So the Buddha again said, we practice right speech, you know. We need to stand up for ourselves, we need to set up ourselves, you know. It's not to get bullied, you know. No. Sometimes people think that being a Buddhist, you have to be bullied by others, you have to keep quiet, you have to, you know, let people walk over us. No, it's not like this. Of course, right speech, you know. Right, we right speech, you know, that is a speech that is true, being kind, not come from ego, being beneficial, you know, right time, right place, you know. Then, if we fulfill the condition, we can speak. It's not that the Buddha's never said that we have to practice right silence. There's no such thing, right silence. It's right speech. So we need to speak up. We stand up for ourselves. So we stand up for what we believe in, you know. It's important. So lots of people have dismissed in understanding like a Buddhist, you have to be so kind until that people have to take advantage of you and let other people to bully you. It's not, you know. As a Buddhist, we develop wisdom. We know when it's time to speak appropriately, right time, right place, you know, to develop wisdom. It's not that we just keep our mouth shut not to say anything, but we develop wisdom. We know the right time, right place, what to say, you know, to act appropriately, to sex appropriately. This needs a lot of wisdom. You need to have the wisdom, isn't it? The right time, right place, what to say, you know, to act appropriately. So you need wisdom. So there's a how to really overcome this, you know, this habit. To really have to break through is not that easy. So if we can't break through this habit, and actually you can't come out of it, it's very difficult. Because we keep reinforcing each time we follow our habitual pattern, and we reinforce that. We make it difficult for next time. You know, again and again we keep reinforce. That's why the first step, we need to develop a clarity. So we have to apply, practice present moment awareness to establish our mindfulness, to develop clarity. If I'm able to see, you know, that actually most of us sometimes don't see that we are doing it. Because we haven't got enough clarity to see that we have this certain habit, you know, that we can't see, you know. So if we can't see that we have this habit, we cannot break through and we cannot come out of it, we cannot change our life. So we go on and on and on, we keep reinforcing that, and we never come out of it. It's just that because the mind is a conditioned thing, we keep reconditioning again and again and again, and never come out. So that's why we have to develop clarity, to really investigate, to see, you know, that if we have the clarity, then only we can see that we are doing it. If not, we don't even know that we have this habit, we have this underlying tendency. So that's why, first of all, we have to develop wisdom. That's why practice Buddhism, actually, we have to develop wisdom to help us to solve our problems in life. And no one can help us. You know, because if not, most people think that, you know, our problem is because of things from outside. We always think that, most people always think that the object is a problem. They can't see that actually the suffering that we go through, all the difficulties that we go through, actually we contributed towards that. It's come from our own creation. We can't see. We keep thinking it's just like you're riding on the horse. You try to look for where is the horse, you know. We can't see ourselves doing that. That's like first step, you have to be able to develop that clarity to see yourself, to investigate. If not, most people always think that the suffering is because of someone else. And some other people mistake, and some other people that cause me suffering, and your suffering is outside. You can't see that it's your own creation. Because easy for us to see the mistake of others, isn't it? It's very difficult to see ourselves. That's why whenever you see your own defilements, and you see your certain underlying tendency, you say sadhu, sadhu. It's already a big step if you be able to see that, because it's very difficult to see our own tendency, that habitual pattern, this underlying tendency, because it's too close. So you have to develop the clarity in order to see that. If not, we can never come out of it. It's very, very difficult. But even though it's difficult, actually it's possible. All we need to do, we have to put in effort, put in, you know, the practice. We have to just have to practice. You know, so as we practice it, as we develop our clarity, as we establish our mindfulness, we become more aware, and then we be able to know that this is something that I need to work on. If not, we can't. You know, that's why someone asked me that. You know, because I someone told me that we all conditioned. We think that we make our choice, but actually it's not. I said, yes, it's true. So if it's like that, how am I going to come out of it? You know, if it's everything conditioned, I'm not making my own choice. I said, and I told this person, I said, you can't. Then the person said, then I can't, then how? Then I will always, you know, I'll be conditioned again and again, doing the same thing. I said, you can't. I said, provided you develop the clarity, you'll be able to see that. Until you be able to see that, it's very difficult to come out of it, because you can't see yourself doing it. So that's like, all you need to do, the first thing, you have to slow down your pace, you know, to slow down your mind, to develop, to, uh, 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 to, to put into practice present moment awareness, develop and establish your mindfulness, become more aware. And also whenever, even while you're working or wherever you are, if you catch yourself like repeat the same, like follow the same habitual pattern, so you stop 1 second. It's easy, isn't it? Is it difficult? Not difficult to do that, isn't it? Whenever you catch yourself to follow that whole old habitual pattern, you stop for a second. And this is how you slowly you train your mind to stop. If not, the mind, because the mind is so quick, you just latch on and go on and on and on, and you can't stop. And this is how, little by little, you know, not to underestimate that 1 second. So you stop, pause. You know, that this is train your mind how to stop. If not, your mind will never know how to stop. Your mind will just go on and on. And this is how slowly, little by little. And it is, you can apply this in your daily life. You know, Buddhism, you know, all the Buddhist teaching is not just a knowledge. Actually, you can live the Buddhist teaching. You can apply this on your daily life. You know, try to develop present moment awareness, become more aware. Because sometimes we don't even know that what causes the suffering, because we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the clarity. So ultimately, we have to develop the wisdom to solve our own problems in life. No one can help us. But the teaching is there, but we have to know how to apply this, you know. So the Buddha's teaching is not for us to just to memorize all the teaching, but you can apply it in your daily life. We can live the Buddha's teaching, you know, restrain our bodily speech and action. Because the more we restrain ourselves, actually we develop mindfulness, we become more aware of our bodily actions, speech and mind, our thoughts. Imagine if we don't, they say keeping precept is good. We restrain, practice restraint, help us to strengthen our mind. We become more aware of, you know, the way we act, the way we speak, and our thoughts, and it's helped you and develop more and more clarity. Because sometimes if you're not aware of that, this is how we live our life, we just blur all the time, you know. So we develop that, you know, morality, keeping precept, restraining ourselves, our speech, and we strengthen our mind. And we apply this present moment awareness in our daily life, and it helps us to develop and establish a mindfulness. So when we sit in meditation, it's easier to sit. Many people think that I'm practice the Dhamma. So practice the Dhamma, then I have to sit there, listen to Dharma talk, read Dharma books or suttas that I'm practicing and sit in meditation. Then the moment they get up, you know, then they live their life is just so heedlessly, you know, they're being so unkind, very selfish, you know, being very selfish, very self-centered. And it's important how you live your life, and it's that your attitude is important. So then people start to blame that maybe the method that I do is not the right method. Actually, you can do all, I keep telling people, you can do all kind, whatever meditation you want to do is not the problem. It's not the technique is the problem. It's your attitude. Because what kind of attitude you have, you know? When you sit on the cushion, you bring that with you. You know, if you're someone, you know, got agitated, irritated all the time, angry all the time, when you sit down and you get, if you're someone having this fault-finding mind, you find fault with your medication. This you bring with you. That's actually throughout. Some people tend to divide, you know, to separate, you know, practicing and how they live their life is two. No, it's not two different things. So we make sure that we live the Dharma, we don't try to fit the Dharma into our life, but we fit our life into the Dharma, into the teaching, how we live our life. So if we want to have develop this the wisdom, more clarity, so we have to fit our life into the Dharma. So we have to change the way we do things, the way we act, the way we speak. Then then only we are the one. We are the Buddha said, we are the master. So the Buddhas only can only point the way. We can only give you encouragement, you know, and can help you and show you the way. Ultimately, you have to do the work. So Buddhism is a DIY religion. You have to do it yourself. No one can help you. So I offer this for Dharma reflection. May this teaching benefit to all of you. Any questions or comments? So I would like to understand, when living a family or monastic life is okay, and when it isn't, how can we decide it is okay to become a nun if I'm a mother of a children? I feel like this lacks of a sense of responsibility. Yes, normally we discourage people to become a nun if they have young children, because we have responsibility. We have to fulfill our responsibility. Even if you come to monastic life, you won't be happy. You will not be happy. You will carry that. We have to fulfill our responsibility. I remember some years ago when I was in Thailand, there was a young man. He went all the way to Wapanama Chakwan to become a monk. And then actually Ajahn Yana keep postponing his Anagarika ordination. Because when he come to Thailand, the wife just gave birth to a baby boy. I think it's about, how many weeks? I think 4 weeks or something like that. In a few weeks only, baby. Then of course, then actually, most of us like really don't think that is a good thing to do, because you know, you still have young children, you still have a baby. Then eventually, then I think Ajahn Yana tried very hard. I tried to talk to him a few times, you know. Then eventually he decided to go back. So normally we don't encourage you. You have to wait till see how old is your children. You have to wait till your children grown up. Even I come to monastic life, my son grown up. Because I married quite young. So because I had my son when I was 22. So when my son 18, at the age of 40, I decided to become a nun. So then that time he was very good. He's already 18 that time. He says, "Mom, so go for it. I'm okay. You don't have to worry about me. I can look after myself." And if this really makes you happy, go for it. And he's very supportive. And now he's still very proud of me. So that's like, but if he's still young, I won't do that. To be honest, I won't do that, because we have responsibility. So, but I already fulfill my responsibility. It's okay. But not with young children. Please don't do that. It's not, I don't encourage and support you to do that. So this is another question from New Zealand. How do we find balance between being sensitive to others and to be assertive? Okay. To be sensitive to others, to be assertive. Actually, you know for yourself, for example, like, you know, like things that you know that causes you, affects you emotionally, and if you know that if you continue to do that, you know, it's causes you, you know, stress, you know, then you have to say no, you know. And then, of course, you know, being sensitive to others, like, that the sensitive have to come from the place that with kindness and understanding. It's not come from that, come from the place that understanding of that, you know, that what when I do this will causes the suffering of others, will have impact on the other person. You know, this kind of sensitivity. It's not that, oh, I'm so sensitive, you can't criticize me. I'll get hurt. I feel hurt, you know. And yes, then you have to develop your wisdom, your clarity, to be able to see, where to draw the line. So middle way actually itself is wisdom. So of course at the beginning we tend to swing from one end to another. But slowly we still swing. But maybe the swing is less, you know, less, and then slowly it becomes less and less, you know. It takes time, you know, so that's not to worry so much that, you know. So if we find that it's too much this side, okay, we tend to not to swing back to this side again. So yeah, it takes time to develop the middle way, the balance. It needs a lot of clarity. Without clarity, without a wisdom, you can't see. So ultimately, you have to use your own discretion, that use your own wisdom. What can we do to help people respect each other's differences in lay societies when we want to fit in? It's okay. I mean, it's come from kindness and compassion. So we develop that, you know, that it's okay that we be able to embrace, you know, that the differences is so, because, you know, we cannot impose our ideas onto others. So that's why to help people to respect each other's differences in lay societies when we want to fit in. And again, you know, this also come from the individual, you know, wisdom, you know. Sometimes it's very difficult. I can't really tell you how to do it, you know. And, you know, you have to come from your own understanding, your own wisdom. For example, like practice, when we talk about practice patience, actually it's very difficult to practice patience if you don't have the wisdom. Because the wisdom actually is come from your peace, your calm, your stillness. When your mind is still, you're peaceful, then you'll be able to be patient with things. If not, it's very difficult. And then most people try to suppress, you know. Then they think that they're being patient. Actually, it's not. It's a suppression. So in order to be patient, actually you need to have the wisdom. You need to have the understanding of non-self. You have the understanding. You understanding of impermanence. You know that this. You have the confidence that things won't stay, things won't last. It will come and go. But if you don't have that wisdom, you don't have the understanding. It's quite difficult. It's also the same thing. It's always come back to develop the wisdom. Without wisdom, it's quite difficult, you know, to help others, you know. And then it's even helping ourselves is difficult enough, you know, isn't it? So, and if we be able to help ourselves, it's already good enough, you know. And we can only do our best, you know, if we see how much we can help. It's also good that also when we want to help someone, it's also good to know to know our own strength. Like sometimes if we don't know our strength, if we don't know our limitation, sometimes kindness can become very destructive. And actually it's not helpful at all if we are not wise enough. That's why again have to come back to our wisdom. You know, if we want to help someone, we always have to know our strength, our limitation. How can we help? Sometimes we cannot help. You know, but sometimes because of our own ego, we think that we can help everyone. But we can't. That's why again, we have to come to the place of acceptance that sometimes we can't solve everybody's problems, we can't really help everyone. Then it's again that, you know, the acceptance itself is letting go. We accept that, you know. We cannot solve everybody's problem, but we can do our best, you know. So after we do our best, and that's it, you know. And yeah. I think I hope they will answer this person's questions. Any more questions or comments? Yes.
Oh, Ajahn Hasapana, thanks for the good talk. Mm. Yeah. You know, the eight winds, actually, you know, the eight winds is a very important Buddhist medication, you know, to calm us down, you know, and which is not often mentioned, you know, but you think, yeah. Mm. You know, the Buddha was telling us, not to be moved by the eight winds. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's not often mentioned.
Because this have to come from the understanding of this is a part of life. Because you can only, you can't have only one thing. So you have pleasure, you have pain. So you have praise, you have criticism. you have gain, you have loss. You cannot have only one thing. So that's like, because if we don't have that understanding, it's very difficult. We always move by that. And then we always crave for only pleasant feelings. We don't want to have unpleasant. It's impossible. So we are asking something that the world could not offer to us, you know. Then actually we create a lot of suffering to ourselves. But if we have the understanding, it will not bother us. What to expect? It's normal. It's okay. You know, you said what you like. You want to criticize me, fine, you know. And actually it takes a lot of wisdom. Not to be moved, you know, not to by what other people said, what other people think of you, because sometimes it's again come from our sense of self, our ego, because our sense of self, ego, that we really, you know, that we can't stand if people criticize us, and we cannot always have praise, you know.
I have the eight winds attached to my fridge with a magnet.
Oh, okay.
So I refer to it all the time.
So that sometimes when you got criticism, okay, it's normal. It's not to judge, but it's normal. So yeah, but sometimes it's how we get drawn in, you know, without seeing that. That's why it's again come from the clarity. If the clarity actually is come from the stillness, the mind become more and more still, then and you have more clarity. Isn't it? So it's like we have a book that Wisdom Pond of Stillness. They have to be still, and then you become very calm and steady and stable, and not easily moved by the eight whirly winds. You know. Any more questions or comments?
I was just wondering, similar to what they were saying, how do you deal with someone who continuously throws abuse at you? How are you able to release that and not let it affect you?
Oh, they say it's against. It actually takes a lot of practice. You know, that's why I can tell you, all my nuns is my teacher. They are my teacher. Okay, if I can't let go, I will run away midnight or try to run away. actually, it takes a lot of practice. I have developed actually metta. You be able to really forgive and have compassion and to be able to embrace and seeing that everybody, it's important that seeing that everyone doing their best and have the trust in others is very important. So I have the trust, I have the confidence in all the nuns that they're doing their best. And, you know, then to try to see, I always see the best in others actually make me happier. You know, if I keep looking at it, you know, because everybody, no one is perfect, you know. And even someone that criticizes you, that person also suffer. So seeing that the person also suffer, then we just, each time to me is like, I always think that, okay, giving me, this is a great opportunity, give me the opportunity to practice forgiveness, compassion. You know, if someone really pressed my button, so I said, okay, thank you for giving me the opportunity to practice forgiveness. Sometimes you just have to keep doing that because it's not. I know that if I can't, sometimes in this role, actually it's helped me to let go a lot. If I don't learn to let go and accept, to embrace, I'll suffer. And that is really, really, really pushed me that's why I used to tell people, if I don't learn to let go, that's why when people ask me how we train your nana, I say I don't have to train them, they train themselves. So I just for me, I know my role, I know my responsibility. I cannot make sure everybody stay in robes, they're not going to disrobe. But I can do my best to support them to stay in robe. But ultimately also rely on them, isn't it? I can only do that much. But sometimes if we don't have that understanding, you know, if we always come from the big ego thinking that I can help everybody, you know, then actually we cause lots of suffering for ourselves. That is where we have to learn to let go. Some people we can help, some people we can't. And we know that that much we can do. If we can't do it, we have to accept that. That's where letting go come in. If we can't let go, we think that, oh, terrible, you know. And if the nun misbehaved, that is, and people would think that, oh, I'm a terrible, you know, it reflect on me. I don't care, you know. Some people will say, oh, we reflect on you, you know. But I cannot control. Even I cannot control my son, isn't it? You know, I cannot control them, you know. But I can do my best in telling them, oh, don't do this, and you know. I can do my best, but ultimately, you know, it's up to the person. It's like, I remember when I was in Singapore, someone asked me, oh, you know, why some monks, you know, they're involved in politics and involved in all this, you know, that because as a monastic, you're not supposed to do that. Then I told the person, I said, it's just like the five precepts is there. It's up to you whether you want to keep it. If you don't want to keep it, how, what can I do? You know what I mean? The same thing for other monks or nuns, you know, the rule is there. But if they don't want to keep it, it's up to them, isn't it? It's not whether it's whether you can do that or you can't do that. It's up to individual. You make your own choice. If people don't want to keep it, it's, you know, it's up to them. You know, then again, we don't judge. You know, we just seeing that is that the person also have the suffering. So that's that. And then also each time you just remind yourself that, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to practice forgiveness. Another chance, you know, another opportunity. Then slowly, you know, this is how slowly it will not affect you anymore. You know, so it's just like you hit the wall too many times, you know, long enough. Then when you suffer enough, you will let go. When people ask me how to let go, I said, you can't let go because you don't suffer enough. You suffer enough, you let go. If not, you keep hitting the wall, so you still want to hit the wall. That's why sometimes I let people be, because sometimes you have to let people make mistakes. Yeah, you have, if you keep telling them, don't hit the wall, they won't listen. You know, so they won't listen. Then you have to let them hit the wall, then they know, oh, it's pain. You know, then they stop hitting the wall. Sometimes you just have to allow people to make mistakes and then just to practice forgiveness. Don't know whether is that answer your questions or make sense to you. Yeah, any more questions or comments? Okay. No more questions or comments? Okay. Going, gone.